In the southern part of Texas, in the town of San Antone, is a fortress all in ruins that the weeds have overgrown. You may look in vain for crosses and you'll never see a one, but sometimes between the setting and the rising of the sun, you can hear a ghostly bugle as the men go marching by. You can hear them as they answer to that roll call in the sky. Colonel Travis, Davy Crockett, and 180 more, Captain Dickinson, Jim Bowie, present and accounted for. Back in 1836, Houston said to Travis, get some volunteers and go, fortify the Alamo. Well, the men came from Texas and from old Tennessee, and they joined up with Travis just to fight for the right to be free. Indian scouts with squirrel guns, men with muzzle loaders, stood together heel and toe to defend the Alamo. You may ne'er see your loved ones, Travis told them that day. Those who won through can leave now, those who fight to the death, let them stay. In the sand he drew a line with his army saber. Out of 185, not a soldier crossed the line. With his banners a-dancing in the dawn's golden light, Santa Anna came prancing on a horse that was black as the night. Sent an officer to tell Travis to surrender. Travis answered with a shell and a rousing rebel yell. Santa Anna turned, started, played to play low, he roared, I will show them no quarter, everyone will be put to the sword. 185, holding back 5,000. 5 days, 6 days, 8 days, 10, Travis held and held again. Then he sent for replacements for his wounded and lame, but the troops that were coming never came, never came, never came. Twice he charged and blew recall on the fatal third time. Santa Anna breached the wall and it killed them one and all. Now the bugles are silent and there's rust on each sword, and a small band of soldiers lie asleep in the arms of the Lord. In the southern part of Texas, near the town of San Antone, like a statue on his fiddle rides a cowboy all alone. And he sees the cattle grazing where a century before Santa Anna's guns were blazing and the cannons used to roar. And his eyes turn sort of misty and his heart begins to glow, and he takes his hat off slowly to the men of Alamo, to the 13 days of glory at the siege of Alamo.
Yeah, 13 days of glory. How about that? Well, here we go. White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is White Aryan Resistance Radio, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Our email address is warmetzger@sbcglobal.net. Our big, big website where you can download these radio shows is resist.com. And there's some video up there, too. How about that? This is the War Information News Update also, so throw away the fish-wrap, Jew-worshipping corporat newspapers and listen to War Radio. And if you request the update on by email, send us your email address. We will send you our daily, or sometimes every 2 days, War Information News Update in print, which we have a lot more on than we could possibly put on this radio show. Your subscriptions and purchases finance all war operations and your donations. Don't be kikish. Support the cause. If you've moved, though, without informing us, you will not receive your newspapers. So let us know in advance about any address changes. Yes, and also that goes for the merchandise, videotapes, and so forth. You've got to let us know in plenty of advance to you getting your shipment if you want to get it to the right place. The War Newspaper is 20 to 24 pages from month to month, depending on the month, and it's had somewhat of a facelift lately, so check it out. $3 cash for a sample copy, 12 issues in the USA is $30, $40 in Canada, and $50 in all other countries. Now remember, send it in U.S. funds only, international money orders, and so forth. Okay, now if you want 100 papers in bulk each month to thrill your neighbors as you run through the neighborhood and throw these beautiful, wonderful hate projectiles, they're $25 for 100 papers. Now if you want 1,000 papers and want to start a mini war, then they're $150, and that's all postpaid to your door in an unmarked plain a brown cardboard box. You can have lots of fun with these, but I recommend that you send them to the movers and shakers in the community. Don't waste them too much on people who are too stupid to understand what you're talking about. Anyhow, if you get the drift. Now, you leave your comments at our 24-hour phone number, 760-723-8996. And we use many of your calls on our radio show. If you haven't read Redneck Manifesto, you better get it. It's hot. I don't know whether you can handle it. It's $15 postpaid. Also, that's by Jim Goad. And then Ship Magnet by Jim Goad. Ship Magnet is $15 also. I don't think some of the goody-two-shoes conservative right-wingers could handle these books. And Tommy's Hateful Biography, and if you'd like for me to sign it for you, just let me know. They're $20. Interesting, some interesting background in what old Tommy's done over the years. Now, 100 Little Hitlers by Eleanor Langer is ready to go. It's in distribution right now, and it's pretty darn good. $20 for that, and incidentally, whether I told you or not, I attended her lecture at UCLA in Los Angeles recently. There were about 100 law students there, and little old me, and she introduced me to everybody, and we got along pretty darn good. Nobody even tried to rip my little old bald head off. It was a fun time. Boy, I'll tell you, they don't make the left-wingers like they used to back in the 60s and 70s, and back in those days, there'd have been 100 people there trying to tear me apart. These people were very docile. Now, and Morris Dees is coming back to the scene of the crime and the perjury suborning. That's up in Portland coming up. So if you're up in the Portland or Northwest area, keep an eye on the newspapers, and he'll be telling you where he's going to go. And I want you all to show up and say, "Hi, Morris, I'm a friend of Tommy." And he's going to be up there for damage control, because you got to understand, Portland is a very hot spot for his money-making schemes. He's got millions of people on these fund appeal letters that he sends out. And the Portland and the Northwest area is full of so many damn liberals that he collects a lot of money. Well, with this book coming out, 100 Little Hitlers, it's not doing his image very much good. So Morris is going to do some damage control. So go on down and say hi to old Morris. He's a good old boy. Now we got these hot training videos, and people are really raving about them. Of course, this the Hitler Video Fest is not a training video, but we got some real classy footage that most people have never seen before. Hours of great footage for $25 for the Hitler Fest. The Rockwell Fest, that's got some hours of great footage, including the California Reich and the Marquette Park riots, and an official Rockwell video from the party itself that was made years ago. Yeah, $25 for that. And the Personal Defense Fest, now this is hours of every kind of personal defense, I'm telling you. If it's something to defend you, this shows you how. And you need this, especially in the streets and even in your cars and so forth. And that whole package, we're talking about hours of information and training for $25. You're never going to beat that, I'll tell you. If you understand and are able to use everything in these tapes, you are invulnerable. You are a human tank. Oh, yeah, we have an announcement, too, and we'll talk about it later in the show, and that is Mr. Michael Blevins of the Von Blumen Show, and I hadn't been seeing his show advertised for a while. I understand he was raided and some very mysterious things went on, even though I've gotten it secondhand and the source is not necessarily reliable. We need to know what happened to Mike Blevins, and so if you're out there and you know what's cooking, let us know. And because if he was raided by the feds and they did what it said in the email I got, there's some real problems there, and maybe we can all expect our door to be kicked in at any moment. I always assume that's a very distinct possibility when I get up in the morning before I even have my coffee, because when they raid you, they'll always raid you in the pre-dawn hours, about 3, 4 o'clock. Anywhere from 2 to 4 o'clock is the time they will choose. So be prepared and have your best underwear and PJs on, because they may be parading you before the cameras at any time. Oh, and for all you people in the Middle West, hey, Tommy's coming to Chicago. Yeah, I'm going to be there to give a little support to my friend Matt Hale. Yes, that'll be the 2nd of, or 3rd of November. The trial is supposed to start. And if that's the day it's going to start, old terrible Tommy's going to be there bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to support my guy Matt Hale, and I expect as many as possible other of you people to show up, and who knows what might come off there. We'll see. Well, I'm looking down from the bunker now, and old Dr. Kaldenberg should be coming up the road pretty soon, but man, I'll tell you, ever since old Cruz Bustamante lost the election yesterday, the Oxline people are really getting uptight, man. They got us sort of surrounded here in the bunker. So I think I see the dust from his old Jeep down there coming up the road. There he is. Whoa, they're opening up on him. Whoa. Damn. Better put the pedal to the metal, doctor. You gonna make it? Boy, I'm telling you, they're just shooting the shit out of that Jeep. Oh, man. Yeah, but he's firing back, throwing some grenades and shit at him, man. He's rolling them right down the hill, knocking off those fucking beaners. Come on, doctor, you can make it. Whoa. Oh, they threw a bomb through the window here. Throw it out. Oh, yeah, give him some of that shit, man. Take that home to Taco Mama. Yeah. Been some air traffic around here too. I've seen it. Well, I'll tell you, that old Kaldenberg, he's making a real run for his money. Uh-oh. God damn, those Mexicans got the B-17. Whoa, they missed us. Ah, there's Dr. Kaldenberg with his famous bugle. Yeah, that's that Odinist bugle. The bugle of all truth. Yeah. Here he comes! He made it! Well, Dr. Kaldenberg's coming down the hall. Oh, we're not going to stop it. Jerry, get back in the damn cage. Oh, shut up. Here he comes. Here he is, Dr. Kaldenberg.
Heard Heimdall blow his horn there.
Heimdall blew his horn. Well, I'm glad he blew that and not something else.
That's true.
Yeah, because that wouldn't look good, huh?
Yeah.
Because you know it's old Gay Davis that does the blowing in this state, and now he's going to have to find some new places to blow.
Well, you know, it's kind of a weird situation. You know what his real name is?
Somebody told me, but I forget.
It's Joe Davis.
Joe Davis.
And when he got into politics, he picked the Gray Davis. You know, colors have different values. You know, green is envy or it's growth, and red is rage.
Yeah.
Usually gray means, you know, varying shades of gray. It means mediocre and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So why would anybody pick a color that the connotation is that you're mediocre?
Well, you know what? I think it's his friends did it. I think he got surrounded by Jerry Brown when they were sleeping together one night, and he said,
Why don't you call yourself Gray Davis?
Impressive. Yeah,
you're such a gray man.
Yeah, Igor even, like he said, that's very impressive.
Well, I guess it's under Gay Davis. So.
Yeah, Gay, well, gay vote. It works real good, Gay Davis. And, of course, you know, in most of California, that seems to be a compliment. You can't insult somebody by calling them gay anymore.
Well, when I was a little kid, gay used to mean happy. Like the gay 80s. Well, gay 90s it was.
You're about as old as I am, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But you lived in one of those way back sort of little towns.
Well, it didn't become a faggot thing until the late 60s.
Yeah, I guess you're right there. Well, Dr. Kahlenberg, I got great news. They got a free state project going now. These right-wing conservatives are calling for a free state.
Whoa.
They want 20,000 people to come up there in New Hampshire or someplace up there, I guess, mm-hmm. And get involved with us creating a free state, and then everybody electing good God-loving people and straightening this country out.
Well, it's free. I mean, you can walk around naked.
Well,
you don't have to wear clothes.
Let me tell you something. They just issued a bulletin that said, well, everybody's free but bigots, racists, and the like. You're not free to join the free state.
They're non-Christians.
So I guess we'll have to stay in our hate society, because the lovers, they don't want us around.
Uh-oh.
And these are the right-wing conservative types. They voted for McClintock here in California. A lot of them voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger and like that. And so they're telling us, these right-wing conservative uptight assholes, they don't want us around. Well, we don't want to be around the extreme left, and we don't want to be around the right, because the right's going down, man.
Well, you know what's amazing is the McClintock people are the exact same people the Spotlight had.
Yeah, right.
And all those people were always saying, oh, we're not about hate. The Spotlight's not about hate.
Yeah, I took one look at his wife and figured that deal out. She was, she had no makeup on, and she was dressed in that real cultist, like, fundamental Christian thing.
Well, you see McClintock
Well, one of his aides called for, we got to have a totally God-run town.
Yeah. Well, look at his eyes. He's got the same eyes as Charles Manson whenever McClintock talks.
Yeah, that
man. I mean, they're
man.
Just right in the center of his eyes and stuff, and they don't move.
If I read tomorrow that he slaughtered his whole family, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, if he would have got elected, the first thing he'd do, he'd get somebody like John Ashcroft to be the Attorney General of California.
Oh, we got
some screwy Christian.
Not another Ashcroft, man. Okay, Dr. Kahlenberg.
I heard on the radio that Cruz Bustamante's dad voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, man.
It's kind of bad. He doesn't have any rapport at all among the Mexicans.
Wow.
You know, all the Mexicans, they got all these Arnold for government. You know, they said, what was it, 42% of the Mexicans voted for Arnold?
Yeah, and that was interesting because it looks like the movie star thing really gets to people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the big thing.
Well, the lower the IQ, the more they believe, you know, the Terminator and Total Recall movies. They actually believe that he is the Terminator, and the Terminator is going to do there and kick some ass.
And the other thing is, I think those Mexicans, they don't want to separate from the white race. They want to integrate with the white race. They want to be like a white man if they cut their hair right and don't stay out in the sun too long. They can marry a white girl.
It's not just the white guys. Have you ever noticed that non-white women have a tendency to throw themselves on you?
Oh,
In the gym, I've had Mexican girls follow me around. I don't have any white girls following me around, but I got all these darkies.
I know. That's true. A lot of them.
You go in the Safeway, and it's always the Mexican checkout girl that's the flirty one.
Yeah, I get that quite a bit, flirting with me. And I just hit them with the back of my hand and say, get away from me, greaser.
Yeah, this is
do that, but I say, I'm already taken, bitch. I
think the thing is, like you say, is they just want to be white. They want to marry some, the Mexican guys want to marry a Mexican girl, and the Mexican girls want to marry a white guy.
They all want to experiment.
Yeah.
Then after they have a couple half-breed kids, they say, oh, that was a failed experiment.
Yeah.
I'll go on to the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, old Cruzy, baby, he was... he didn't have an accent or anything. I mean, this guy, I don't think, worked in the fields or did anything.
No.
But I'll tell you what.
I worked in the field.
At first, I thought he was a real Pancho Villa.
Yeah.
But he turned out to be nothing but a Frito Bandito.
Yeah,
well, the Aztlan people got to get somebody a lot better than him. I think they're very disappointed in Cruz.
Whatever happened to the little Raza party that they had in the 60s? That would get some votes now.
Hey, they're around because behind the Cruz Bustamante had several of those meetings. They had that big, like a Navajo Indian symbol, the black bird on the red background.
Yeah.
Well, that's La Raza.
Yeah.
That is La Raza.
Yeah.
The race.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you imagine, if all over college campuses in California, they have all these La Raza clubs. Can you imagine they have the race club And it's for white people, called the Race Club.
Well, I can imagine that, because that girl up in Northern California, I think it was, she's tried to start this even Caucasian, which is a bad term.
Yeah.
We are not Caucasian. The Arabs are Caucasian, too. Well, anyhow, she tried to start that up, and the whole bit, she's getting threatened all the time and getting bad calls, and the NAACP is challenging her and everything, and, of course, there's no white people to stand up for her.
Yeah.
Maybe a liberal might, you know, but these conservatives, they're chicken shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a shame she has to fear for her life up there,
yeah.
And there's no good men in that damn town.
What town's that?
I forget the name of the town. You could call it anywhere USA, because most white men in any town in the country ain't worth a shit.
Well, you know about this election. Have you noticed that they're all putting hope in Arnold that he will straighten out the budget, that he will clean house and do the right math, and all the problems go away? But it's not a mathematical problem. It's a third world invasion problem that they come here and suck the cut straight dry, and they're not paying any taxes. There is no way that he can rework the cabinet or even fire some people and figure out the budget.
No, of course not. It won't straighten anything out.
It's simple math. You know, you got all these non-whites coming in, and only 19% of them pay any kind of tax at all, and they all get on welfare and stuff. They're just sucking the state dry.
Well, it's just like a house. I mean, you know, the whole damn house is sinking into the ground. The termites are just all over the place, and the guy being in denial, well, I can't figure out what it is.
Well, even Clintock, the so-called extreme right-wing candidate, you know, his whole idea is he'll go there and he'll go through the paperwork and he'll find the waste and he'll cut that waste out. Yeah. You know, the waste is the non-whites.
That's right.
You know, if you're going to cut the waste out, you got to cut the Mexicans and the gooks and all the third world immigrants. But even the extreme right-wing candidate won't even mention the race question, won't even mention immigration.
And also, they convinced all the dummies out there to vote to get rid of these employee dues, you know, what do they call it? And go like Arizona with their,
you mean workman's comp?
Workman's comp.
Yeah.
Workman's comp is good for the workers.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying, well, it's just bankrupting the big boys, so let's do it like Arizona. Well, that's a right-to-work state, and you don't get paid for shit over
Arizona.
Oh, God,
you know, over there, minimum wage is a good job.
Yeah.
You know?
So they convinced all these white workers to vote, you know, against that workman's comp. Well, maybe it is a little high, but, you know, the rich boys are always bitching, always crying.
Yeah.
Now, I can see it for the, you know, the smaller outfits, that it may be bleeding them. But these corporations, they're always crying foul, man. I take notice that nobody wanted to talk about Gay Davis being gay or being bisexual. He has that pretty little wife sitting next to him. They call that a beard, I said. You know, I never heard that before.
Yeah.
That a homosexual wants to cover himself with a woman, call it a beard.
Yeah.
Well, he trotted her out, you see. But he was bisexual as hell. And when he was the chief of staff for Jerry Brown, they were hanging out and living and sleeping together, for Christ's sake. That is such common knowledge, I can't believe it. Nobody touched that.
Yeah.
Nobody. And I called in on the Michael Medved show.
Oh, yeah.
This conservative right-wing Jew. And I said, and they were saying, they were asking, well, are the Nazis really taking over? Are the Nazis really taking over? And I said, well, look, how would this be if you learned that David Duke was sleeping at Arnold Schwarzenegger's house? Because I don't give a shit about Schwarzenegger. He's a hypocrite, and he paid off the Jews the whole bit. So, oh, no. Well, he said, that would be important. I said, yeah. He said, well, maybe it'd be like you coming on my radio show and then people saying I'm your buddy. I says, no, Michael. It's like Duke going to his house, sleeping in his bed, showering at his house, eating at his house, and going down to the gym and working out kind of friend.
Yeah.
He said, I don't think you can prove that. I said, I don't have to prove it. I know it happened.
Yeah.
I know it happened. And then after I got off the show, he said, that Metzger, he's a liar. He's just jealous. I said, well, I don't give a shit. If you're too stupid to believe the truth, what am I going to do about it?
How far does the phone companies have records? Because it'd be interesting to go back on your records and find that phone number and ask them why Arnold Schwarzenegger's home phone is doing on
your
phone.
I'll bet you I could find out from the records, because in the Portland trial they had all our phone
records. Yeah, because they go back criminal.
And I may have those phone records in an attic
someplace. Well, if you don't have them, I wonder if the phone company would.
That'd be really something to get the actual call from my house.
Yeah, and the big thing that Arnold asked is, what the fuck is his home phone number doing on your phone bill?
Yeah, even if it was just me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Metzger, yeah. Oh, they say, that's a wrong number. You know, these people are in denial.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what you say, they'll come up with an excuse. The conservative right-wingers are funny.
Well,
you know?
Duke talked to
the
Arnold.
Whole campaign boiled down to groping and pinching tits.
Yeah.
I mean, and the right wing, you notice, now this is how bad the right wing is. Now, when Clinton was in, when he had sex, oh, my God, the whole roof fell in. He had sex in the Oval Office. He did this. He did that. He liked women. He did this. But now, when it came out about Arnold, the right wing said, oh, it's all lies. It's never happened. He never did that. It couldn't be. It's impossible. You notice how they are? And all those Christians. That The whole bunch of them are a bunch of assholes. Well, my position is clear on this sex and politicians, even though I believe a man should be true to his wife and things like that. But here's what, because I sure was for 25 years. But anyhow, here's the situation. If I could keep those lousy, filthy, corporate-run politicians away from the money jar, the piggy bank, the taxpayers should build a whorehouse across the street from the U.S. Capitol and every state capitol, and stock it with free booze, and the more you could keep those sons of bitches across the street fucking and drinking, you'd be saving yourself billions of dollars.
My hero, since you're bringing up whorehouses, my hero, Caligula, Roman emperor, one of the greatest men the white race ever produced.
Yeah.
The Roman Senate had got Rome in so much debt that he decided to make a whorehouse and take all the politicians' wives and put them in the whorehouse. And his logic was, well, they were fucking the people anyway. At least this way, they'll help the people pay the taxes.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to fuck a senator's wife, you just pay him whatever, you know, you paid him and it went to help bail out the government.
Well.
That'd be good, except there's a lot of the politicians that nobody would want their wives. Ray Davies' wife's not bad, so.
No, she was a pretty nice wife.
I get $20 for that.
Yeah, I'd rather have her than Arnold's wife. Arnold's wife looks sick.
Yeah, she's got those sunken bone cheeks.
I think she's anorexic.
Yeah,
or something. She's sick or something. But,
well, she's always been like that.
You know, sooner or later, she'll write a book about him.
Oh,
you wait and see. Sooner or later, they're going to be a split up.
That
maybe she'll stay with him while he's governor, and if he has any chance of becoming, you know. And the Kennedys want it, so they've got an ear to the keyhole, too, you know.
Well, I don't know. I think it's a political. It's almost like Hillary's marriage to Clinton, because she'll want to stay in there because the Kennedy clan now look up to her. You know, before she was just a TV reporter. But now she's in politics. And to the Kennedy clan, that's the most important thing, is to, even if you're a Republican, to be into office.
Well, if some broad knocked off Arnold over a lover's spat, then she could step in and take over his spot.
Oh, yeah, she could be the governor.
She could be the governor.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maria.
Oh, did you hear about Tim Zoll went nuts at King High School in Riverside?
Oh, yeah, Timmy Zoll. He's decided to reform his life and devote it to the Simon Wiesenthal Center, just like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, he's found religion.
Yeah, he did, and he went to work for the Simon Wiesenthal Center and that rat-faced Marvin Heyer. And now he goes around the country talking to students in high schools. And we thank him because we get more recruits out of that stuff than we
get. Well, just have at Martin Luther High School, he must have been drunk or on drugs or something, because he went up there and he just started talking about niggers and spicks and faggots, and he started using those words. He just telling all the stories how he's beating them up and stuff. And he was up there for 45 minutes just rambling on about all his joys of beating them up, but he never got to the part where you're supposed to tolerate them. So they had an article in the local Temecula paper, and they were saying that after that, that the race tension in the high school went up two notches because a lot of the white students were repeating stuff you were saying about niggers, and they were using the word nigger more and stuff.
It was quite an article, man.
Yeah.
And the Simon Wiesenthal Center had to say, I'm sorry to all the school officials, but I don't think the school officials are going to invite these guys back. But is it true that Tom Layden... And he's and the boy is are they an item?
I don't know. But Tim, he talked to me about, you know, when Greg denounced. He talked about to me with me about just denouncing the race movement and going in there and being a spy and stuff. So maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe he wasn't drunk, and maybe he was just going in there and preaching the race movement and stuff, and the Jews were too stupid to know what was going on.
Well, that's what they will never know when they get these so-called runaways from our struggle that come to the Simon Wiesenthal Center. They interview them and interview the shit out of them, and they think that they've they got a real agent there, but they'll never know.
Oh, yeah.
Who's on the inside of their building? What's that in that briefcase, son? Let me punch the button.
Yeah. I know I surely wouldn't trust Irv Rubin if he was alive to come and speak at a meeting.
Well,
you imagine inviting Irv Rubin to a race meet. I don't know if he's going to pack a gun or what the hell.
Well, Irv Rubin recruited some really bad people.
Oh, yeah. Canale.
Yeah, Canale. He was a big time loser, done a lot of time. And I don't mean for political stuff either.
Junkie.
And
a lot
he was
of heroin
a heroin junkie and all that. And then in the end, they all turn on him.
Well, Canale ratted on his dad.
Yeah, now that...
I don't know if it was his uncle. I guess it was his uncle.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was his dad.
Oh, maybe it was his dad. I thought it was his uncle.
But Tim Zoll, now these guys, every time they start going around these schools, they keep exaggerating more and more their role.
Yeah,
and
most
of the time they didn't do that much. I mean, I put him on my TV show a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we're going to keep selling that videotape, and Tim Zoll is going to be a racist for the rest of his life, whether he likes it or not.
Well, you know what's funny is you got all these guys that claim to be your right hand, like Clary.
Yeah.
Remember when he was your right hand man?
Yeah.
Where was I? I've never met the guy.
No.
He's your right hand man. Why the fuck have I never met him?
Well, a lot of these guys that claim they're right-hand men, I don't even hardly know.
I know. Like Clary, he was a Klan guy and stuff, and he, like I said, I've never seen him before.
Well, he betrayed David Duke, and he betrayed another Klan, and then he set fire to a nigger church back there in Oklahoma. And when I sent a letter to the feds, I said, well, what's the matter with you boys? Now, this guy admitted that he torched a nigger church, and you didn't prosecute at all.
No.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Well, anyhow, in fact...
But if Clary all of a sudden decides he doesn't like niggers again, then he'll go to jail.
Yeah, right, I'm telling you. Well, I wonder what the audience thinks about it.
Oh,
they're
pissed.
Oh,
they're pissed.
What happened to that
G-17?
Jesus Christ, they're flying over here all the time, man. I'll tell you.
It's a pissed off audience.
Whoa, come on. Get that horse out of here. God damn, this is a studio, man. This ain't no livery stable.
Tell the audience to shut up, Tom.
Yeah, come on. But the audience loves what you've been saying.
Are they? It's not like they're shooting guns.
Well, listen to him.
What's he doing? Oh.
I don't know how that B-17 got in here. Man, they really like you, boy. I'll tell you that.
Oh, one good thing about this record.
Yeah, all right.
God is talking. God is talking.
Come on. Okay.
One good thing about this election is the Los Angeles Times has really fucked itself. I mean, you know, it used to be one of the quote-unquote most respected newspapers in America.
Yeah.
I mean, now everybody's ripping it a new asshole.
What about the New York Times? Well, the nigger putting all those stories in.
Well, this is worse because, I mean, that was just them being stupid, but this is them going out of their way being deliberately dishonest.
Yeah.
You know, so now even Democrats are attacking Los Angeles Times.
I love to see any big paper
come down. You know who owns stock in that paper?
Well, I know that they also published the Mexican paper.
Oh, yeah. Morris D's on stocks in Los Angeles.
Sure, yeah. Morris,
that's why it is so truthful.
Morris has his fingers in a lot of things because he's got about $150 million laying around.
Well, that,
and the first guy that gets some of that, I'll be happy.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of these papers won't even criticize, you know, like that Eleanor and Langler book, they won't even touch it because D's owns all the stock in these companies and they're worried about offending one of their major stockholders.
Yeah, they won't even put reviews on her book in or anything. She's taking a lot of heat. I talked to her up there at the lecture at UCLA. I said, you know, Eleanor, you're going to take a lot more heat than I am.
Yeah.
She's really taking a heat. And that's what comes of being honest liberal. Look at some of the other honest liberals around the country.
You know,
that's a real protected, should be a protected species as a true liberal.
Yeah. Well, you know, I tried to review it for Amazon.com. I've written 8 reviews, but if you say anything about Morris D that's negative, Amazon.com won't let you post it.
Wow.
They'll block it and stuff because, like I say, D's own stock in that one, too, and he's He is their boss.
You mean they don't believe in free speech?
They can attack you or me. You know, you're attacked on there all the time.
Well, yeah.
They have personal attacks on you.
Well,
you can't even say any. You can't even mention anything negative about the D's fundraising thing or anything. They just won't put it on.
Well, that's democracy in action.
Damn,
man.
Right.
Democracy. You want
that's all the rights we have.
Even the right-wing conservatives now talk about our democracy. Yeah. Our democracy. Democracy is the most hated form of government.
Oh, yeah.
Our founding fathers hated democracy. The military manual up until about the 30s for the soldiers had in it democracy, the very worst form of government, always leads to anarchy and autocracy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the official U.S. military handbook.
That's right out of Plato's Republic.
Hey, doctor, did you hear about this? The police in Los Angeles had good luck with a robbery suspect who just couldn't control himself during a lineup. When the detectives asked each man in the lineup to repeat the words, quote, "Give me all your money or I'll shoot," unquote, the man shouted, "That's not what I said."
The white tigers are revolting. Did you hear that one of the tigers attacked Roy and Siegfried and Roy?
Yeah, poor Roy.
Revolutionary National Social Tiger, White Tigers Party.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I guess those guys were a little bit light in the loafers, those two guys.
Oh, yeah, they were lovers, supposedly.
Yeah, but now isn't that something? In 30 years, he's never been attacked by a lion or a tiger?
Well, finally, you know how they train them. You know how they used to train them with the whips and chairs? Now the more humane way is cattle prods and taser guns.
Oh, I see.
You know, because you can't communicate with a tiger, you gotta shock it. So, you know, they ripped these guys off from the forest in Siberia, and they basically torture them and force them to jump through a hoop, and then they're supposed to be, oh, they love their tiger so much. And, so finally after 30 years, one of them got pissed off and bit him and stuff, and to show what a humanitarian, he doesn't want to put him to sleep. What a nice slave.
Well, you know what I think might be another answer to this?
What?
You know, animals are very sensitive to sound and for... high frequency sound and low frequency sound, that there's so much stuff that we don't hear around, and like in a casino like that, there may have been some kind of a sound that the lion, the tiger heard that we couldn't hear and he couldn't hear, and it scared the tiger and he did that. I think that's entirely possible because dogs will all of a sudden react and you don't even know what.
Are you killing my theory that it was a revolutionary act?
Yeah, I think I am. I'm sort
the
of
White Tiger Party,
punching fucking holes in it.
Well, there was also that same day, there was a nigger in Harlem.
Shut up,
that
Jerry.
Had an alligator and a tiger in his tiny little Harlem apartment, and that tiger attacked him. So maybe it's a trend. Maybe there's going to be rebellions all over the zoos all over America. You're going to have tiger uprising.
Ray Bradbury, you were right all
Goddamn
the way,
right.
Man. I remember his book, only his was all the modern inventions.
Oh, robots, yeah.
Turned on us people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a short story, I think.
It ate us humans. Yeah, I remember that. Well, okay. Well, I still say that nigger, he may have been watching Sesame Street, and there was a sound on there that just ticked off that damn lion.
I think it's the revolution.
Was it a tiger or a lion?
It was a tiger. Oh. There are two tigers. That's why I think maybe it's an uprising.
Yeah, but the alligator didn't bite him.
No. Nah.
Well, then they must have not.
The alligators aren't rebellion yet. It's just a tiger rebellion.
Well, they didn't hear. He don't hear that sound, I guess. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, since the cats are biting people all over the place, does this mean the pussies are in rebellion?
I hope not.
Oh, okay.
Just the cats.
And, hey, down in Africa, this happens every once in a while. For no reason at all, the elephants stampede and start throwing niggers all over the place.
I think there's a reason.
Huh?
I think there's a reason.
You think it? What? Now what?
They're fighting back. They don't like poachers and stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. I'm not a poacher.
You know why lions lick their butts all the time?
No, I don't.
To get the taste of nigger out of their mouth.
Oh, man, this is a family show here.
Well, it's a family tiger.
You know, I'm going to tell you a real one. And this, I didn't make this up.
Mm-hmm.
This is up at Lake Isabella here in California.
I know where that's at.
A guy put his boat out on the water.
I used to hang out there all the time.
Yeah, and he tried to speed it up, and it wouldn't go hardly at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he put it full blast, it hardly moved. He checked it all, looked all over the boat. He couldn't see anything wrong. He kept trying and trying. A boat would hardly move. So the guys from the marina next door came over, and they thought. And the guy jumped in the water and went down below to look. The damn thing was still latched to the trailer. The stupid nigger had a trailer still on the boat out in the lake.
Oh, yeah, where they backed the boat down into the water? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Tucker, either that was a nigger or a very drunk white man. No. In fact, I know a lady said her boyfriend did that once, that they had a big drop-off where you put the boat back. Mm-hmm. They say, watch it. Don't get off that drop-off because it's deep. Yeah. He backed his damn boat trailer right in there. It took him 2 hours to get it out.
Well, I was working in barracks for the oil field for 2 days a week. I'd work cleaning downcomers. You know, it's like a filter in the oil fields. In the 70s, they had all these anti-pollution laws. So they said, letting the gas out, they had these filters. So I used to go there with high-powered water and spray paint them. You know, it's really hard work, so you only work 2 days a week and get buku money.
Yeah, but you got all those carcinogens in your body, man. Yeah, you must have cancer in your big toe.
No kidding. But anyway, I worked 2 days a week, and basically, you know, the other 5 days a week, I was up at Lake Isabella. You know, it was pretty cool. But like I said, I quit because one day I was down there, and we were shoveling all the shit on the bottom of the downcomer, and there was stuff that looked awful lot like mercury in there. Now, you know, they're supposed to take mercury down to the toxic dumping, but I think they were putting them in the downcomers. So that was the one I just. And plus, too, we had a safety meeting where they were telling, you know, they have to tell you all the side effects. They were talking about balding, premature balding, and then impotency. And said, impotency, I'm out of here.
Are you sure that wasn't your old Viking boat that you backed into that lake?
That wasn't me. I haven't been in a lake as
a dog. Have you ever seen
years.
A Viking boat with a trailer on it?
No.
No, I never did either. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I've read about them hauling around in wagons.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Must have been a big ass wagon.
Well, Lake Isabel is a place I know well.
Yeah, I was there one time, long time
ago.
Well,
Raymond Zara, one of the keyboardists for the Doors, his dad owns a little store there. It's kind of like a thrifty mart type thing.
Hey, we got to go to Bakersfield. I want to see all our
Buck Owens.
My Buck Owens buddy. I want to see him before he kicks a bucket.
Well, he's got a restaurant, and every now and then he sings him and the Buckaroos.
I love old Buck
every
Owens.
Every now and then Merle Haggard comes down,
too. Boy, does he drive the liberals crazy. Oh, boy, you know, guys, boy, Howard Stern and those kind of guys, they hate country music, man.
Well, but
the wilder and the more barbed wire it is, the better I like it.
Yeah. Well, Buck Owens, he was the one that he decided that most of it in the 60s, most of his music was being played on AM radio. And AM radio doesn't pick up bass very good, so he took all the bass out of his band, and that's why it's like a high-pitched sound.
Oh.
So it's being played on AM radio.
Cool. He's a smart boy.
Yeah. Here comes the calls.
Is that all you got to say? These are our illustrious callers that spend all kinds of money calling on the phone, staying on there for an hour, and you just say, here come the calls?
Yes, here come the calls.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Tom. Hello, Dr. Kaldenberg. This is Paul from North Carolina. I would just like to say appreciate the newspaper. I like the radio show. Keep doing what you're doing, and perhaps one day we will have a better land to live in. White power.
Well, thank you, Paul. We appreciate that. From way over there in North Carolina, you almost got your ass blown away about a week ago, didn't it? That old typhoon came up through
That's a place I've never been to.
I haven't either, but I heard it's beautiful.
Is it?
Yeah.
My brother went to Mississippi, and he said that Mississippi was the most beautiful state in the United States.
Mississippi is
second
a beautiful
only to Vermont.
I didn't realize how much forest there was in
Mississippi. Yeah, he said there's like magnolia trees and stuff.
Well, and pine trees. I thought I was in the Northwest, you know. It was beautiful.
I'd like to go to the South sometime.
But it gets very hot and very humid and a lot of creepy crawlers, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Pardon me, boys, for breaking in here, but we had a little technical problem. But anyhow, I reiterate that our new governor here in California is already waffling on the illegal immigration thing, and I don't care. He's going to go to Washington. Nothing's going to happen in Washington, and Bush will not do a damn thing about the illegal alien thing, and if they say they're going to send money to help California, they're a bunch of bald-faced liars. You stick with me, boys. I got the information.
Sometimes they just don't understand, do they? They get the same thing as these other people, that he's a Nazi, which he's not a Nazi. He's an anti-Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
But if he is a Nazi, he's a big hypocrite.
Well, what the deal is when he was a young macho unknown, he was into the weightlifting and how they don't want to become fags and stuff, so he was doing all this macho shit, like grabbing chicks' ass and saying how much he admired Hitler just to be a tough guy.
Yeah.
And now that he became famous, he's denounced all that.
Right.
So who do you want, who are you going to support? The Arnold Schwarzenegger of the 70s, take a time machine and go back there? Or the Arnold Schwarzenegger now who gives $5 million to the Simon Wiesenthal Center and denounces us? And the first thing he's going to do, he's going to put an attorney general just to prove that he's not a racist. That's really going to crack down on the race movement. He's going to come after it. He'll have somebody just like Ashcroft in there.
Oh, he'll be harder on us than...
Well, all the stuff about his dad and stuff, he denounced his own father. What a scumbag. He denounced his own father, and now he has to prove that he's not a Nazi. That means he's going to come after our ass.
Well, and he was mentored by this Jew,
and
the Jew taught him to be an anti-Nazi, and according to the information I have, he went out and broke up a couple of Nazi rallies on the street over there in Graz. Now, come on. I'm not supporting these kind of people, and I'm never going to support these kind of people. Mm-hmm. Well, Cruz Budamani, that was designed for two things. Number one, to screw him up, and number two, to stir the pot. Don't you understand propaganda? That when that press release went out all over the state of California, that did not do Cruz any good. And on the other hand, he is a brown separatist. He is a brown racist.
Or he was in the 70s.
Well, at least he was, and you don't deny it.
Yeah.
And he's the only guy run for office that I ever heard get up and say nigger in a speech and not apologize for it. So what are you going to say, you guys? I know you always vote for the white guy. Bullshit. Most of these white guys are no good at all. Yeah. Now, I don't want to vote for any of them, and I have no love for Cruz Bustamante. But if Cruz Bustamante can stir the pot and get the war going between the whites and mestizos, that's the guy I'm going to vote for.
Hey, well, like, would you vote for John Ashcroft against Cruz Bustamante? John Ashcroft?
I would never vote for
him. Have him for president.
Oh, Ashcroft. Oh, man, talk about bad news. Yeah. Oh, gee, but
how about Morris Deeds? He's
white.
But
you know, the right wing, a lot of our racial brothers are still right wing.
How about vote for Morris Deeds? He's a white guy.
Oh, yeah, he's a white guy. Oh, no, but they say he's a Jew. Because he's got
his middle name?
Got Seligman in his name. He's not a Jew.
I know.
Everybody keeps thinking, you know, they think they can hate him more if they call him a Jew.
Yeah, I know.
But he's...
Well, then they can...
A lot of Jews hate his ass.
I think a lot of right-wingers, they make the logic that, well, he really can't be one of us because he's such a rotten bastard. He must be a Jew.
Yeah.
And then they make this elaborate story that, aha, see, we found proof that he's a Jew. Not one of our people could be such a scumbag.
Oh, no, our people are white men. And here is this whole thing of falling for an actor, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're nothing but...
What?
Actors, they get on the stage, they tell them, stand here, stand there, this and that, and pretend you're a Superman, and they're no more Superman. I know hundreds of weightlifters who are just as good-looking and just as good at the trade as he is.
For the last 23 years, since 1980 when Arnold made his first movie,
he
has had Jewish directors to tell him on which piece of tape to stand on.
Yeah.
So once he gets to be a governor, you think he's going to do it by himself, or he's going to have some Jew over telling him where to stand and what to do?
And also, when the JDL attacked Butler was there, and everybody was there in the train station downtown L.A., and we whipped their ass.
Mm-hmm.
There was three of those guys, or at least two muscle-bound guys
came
around the corner, headed right for I and Stan Whitting.
Yeah.
And here we are, and I thought, well, what the shit's going to happen now? And Stan pulled a switchblade knife, and those muscle-bound guys were gone, man.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw them after that.
Well, there was that one picture of you on the, was it Orange County Register, where you were getting it, you had that guy by the shirt going to punch that muscle guy?
Oh, yeah. Hey, wait a minute. That was not a muscle guy. That was in the Daily News from the Valley, and that was Dr. Codum.
That was the doctor?
The dentist.
Okay.
And he did, after it was over, he didn't know what the hell he'd gotten himself into. He even had some of his dental books where they were something. They found him on the floor in the damn place.
What was he going to do? Cap
I don't know. I think he was going
to
drill my tooth or something. But that, you know, afterwards, we got a hold of him, and he didn't want no part of the JDL.
Well, you know what's funny is that's when Irv Rubin took off running when the cops came and he left all his guys there.
Yeah.
And then they were the cops handcuffed him, and Padgett was going, cuff the kikes, cuff the kikes. And one of the cops said, we better shut up or I'm going to arrest you too. But they were all pissed off at Rubin because everybody's going, hey, your leader just took off on you, Jews. What are you going to do? You don't have a leader anymore.
Yeah,
you're going to go to prison and your leader ran like hell.
That was the end of his influence, it was. But, you know, what I'm getting at is like John Wayne, all these guys, you know, old John Wayne, everybody down south and up north, oh, God bless John Wayne. John Wayne was an actor.
And a race mixer.
And a race mixer. And so he drank hard and had a good time. I knew his son, Pat Wayne, nice guy and all that. Mm-hmm. But they're actors. Yeah. They're not. That's not the real them.
Yeah.
But these people can't separate myth from reality.
Mm-hmm.
And Arnold is not going to, you know, push the pillars out at Sacramento and the damn roof come down and all that horse
shit. The new Samson.
And I'll bet that Maria Shriver tells his ass what to and where to go and when to do it.
Yeah.
I take one look at her and I say, boy, that bitch tells him right where to go.
Yeah.
And if he says anything to right-wing or Nazi around here, she'll kick his ass.
Oh, yeah. Well, that, like I say, is his Nazi days, he was a young macho guy lifting weights and grabbing women in the ass. And I bet you anything, he hasn't grabbed a woman's ass in 20 years, 20, 30 years, last time he said something good about Hitler.
Well, also, the fact that him and Duke would sort of come together, that's sort of interesting, isn't it? They're both phonier in hell, and I don't care who knows it.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, this is Phil from Omaha. You know, you really ought to put out a press release tomorrow, the 5th, about Arnold Schwarzenegger and David Duke and what the skinheads Schwarzenegger used to come and get racist flyers from the skinheads. I think that'd be a great press release and send it all over, and I think that would be a great thing to do.
Well, it's too late, buddy. It's all over, and it's all over, and it wasn't the skinheads.
Yeah,
there were no skinheads back then.
In the 70s, no. This was people from the National Socialist Liberation Front. And then
they were Nazis.
And also it was from Stan Wittig's people.
Yeah.
Because Dick Rogers did it. What was that called? What do you call his group?
Well, he called it the American Nazi Party.
Yeah. Well, he had another name for it, but
Well, anyhow. The point is, it happened, and I'm tired of talking about it, and somebody else wants to pick up on it, fine.
Well, the ADL and those guys, when I got in the movement in the 80s, that was one of the first stories people told me in the 80s when nobody, and I go, well, who's Arnold Schwarzenegger? And they go, oh, he's a Mr. Universe. He was in that movie Pump. All right, this was before his movie career, really got off. And I didn't even know who he was, and people were telling me all these stories about him being a Nazi and stuff like that. But, they're old stories, at least 23 years older than that.
Well, hell, that information's been around for a long time, and it's very interesting. Well, it cost Arnold $5 million.
Shut up.
It wasn't about his daddy being a Nazi. It's about all they knew about his Nazi connection with Duke and so forth.
Yeah.
They know all that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they knew all about it.
Well, Duke was hot then, so I imagine they'd probably have somebody tail him to Arnold's house.
Yeah.
Tommy, how you doing? First time I ever called you. Calling from Jew Control Canada. You know, Tommy, I know down in the States, and even in Canada here, you want guns and bullets, you can get all kinds of that stuff, and whites have enough of that stuff. What we need is money, tens of thousands of dollars, tens of millions. What if you give us a budget, let us know how much you need, a business budget. I'd like to see a nightly newscast with maybe you in the dock and some good-looking gal and other things. But if you put a business plan out, how much you exactly need, maybe some of us white boys that are good at raising cash can help you out. So again, we don't need bullets at this point. We need cash. Cash is bullets at this point. Anyways, from Canada, I say 88, and keep up the great works. Keep healthy there, Tommy. We're going to need you. Bye-bye.
Well, Doctor, that man has some good ideas there, because most of the money in this struggle we're in has been going to the conservative right wing and all these people that tell them, oh, go down and demonstrate and hand out 10,000 pieces of literature and we're going to win, or put up a billboard.
Well, at least you got a point about the guns. We have a mutual friend that, he had $50,000 worth of handguns. He locked them in the warehouse. Nope, he would never use them, and then somebody stole them.
Yeah.
Because he was saving them for the revolution, and somebody broke in and stole them.
If I had half of the money that the right-wing racists have invested in guns, we'd have a real pile.
Oh, yeah. Which is like the Minutemen in the 60s, all over the Mojave Desert, there's all these guns and oil barrels and stuff that are just sitting out there rusting, waiting for the revolution they could make.
Thousands. Oh, the Minutemen, they put them all over the desert, man. I remember back in the 60s when they were burying them.
Yeah.
And
put a little tar in there with the gun.
Men out there, all you know, oh, we got it all covered. And, well, they dug up most of that stuff. It's all rusted.
Well yeah, they made those Etruscan maps. You know, like when you take the Big Dipper and you take the Big Dipper over a topographical map, and whatever looks like the Big Dipper, you know, with the hills and stuff. You know, you say, oh, here's a North Starless planet at the North Star. You know,
yeah.
Like the Etruscans did.
Gee, that's pretty complicated.
Yeah.
I don't think I could figure that out.
Well, it's pretty easy.
Oh,
it's
yeah?
A very old way to hide treasures.
Well, how are you going? Now they know the secret.
Oh.
Damn it! You told them all about it. Damn.
Well,
gonna,
you got to figure.
They're going to find my money.
Well, you have to have a focal point first.
Oh, okay.
Like you could say that the focal point starts 10 miles from Mojave or whatever.
I saw a chick walking down the street the other day. I had my focal point real,
that's true.
Real well trained on that.
That's
yeah.
True, baby.
But we will one of these days sit down and lay out that kind of thing, because we've heard about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's called business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do it.
Smart guy, man. I'm with you. This is the Clam from Arkansas, signing off, 88.
I bet you didn't know who that was.
No, I don't.
That was me.
That was you. Did you say you were the Clem?
I said I'm Clem from Arkansas.
Clem.
I was just calling in to check the machine.
Yeah.
How about that? I sound pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like an intelligent man.
Tom, I've got a question. I know the country started out on free enterprise, and then it somehow it turned into a predatory capitalism. If an Aryan society ever existed, could we have a stock market? Could individuals start businesses where they could buy stock, or is that just Jewish control? I know a lot of times you say you like to barter. The bartering, you have to barter. I mean, that's harder than hell. It'd be easier just to have a currency, but I don't know how you could have a free enterprise without eventually growing into a predatory capitalism, what we have today. If you have any suggestions on books that maybe would show somebody like me how to figure this out, or just your comments on it, I'd appreciate it.
Read Revolt Against the Modern World, Julius Evola. He basically says that democracy, the free enterprise system, and Christianity will all evolve to a big melting pot naturally, and that even if the Jews were out of the equation, that all this race mixing stuff, universalism, would come about. And basically what he advocates is just going back to the system that Aryans always had, was a caste system. You know, what I call like a meritocracy, where actually the Aryan warriors are at the top, the people who are kind of scummy and lazy, they're in the middle, and then the race traders at the bottom. And basically what they had is the only people who should own anything are people who actually devote themselves to the Aryan race. Why should somebody that doesn't give a shit about the Aryan race have any stake at all in an Aryan homeland?
You're a hard man.
I'm a sinner. But that's basically all, you know, from the Vikings to the Romans, to the even Greek Athenian democracy. You know, they always had Greek democracy. It was Athens. It was basically a caste system in there because they didn't allow slaves to vote. And Athenian democracy destroyed Athens.
Yeah,
you know, Socrates was executed because of the people voted on him because they thought he was too controversial.
Well, bringing it up to date a little bit, that stock market, Mo, that is really,
yeah.
That is so rigged, it can't be, you know, you can have a system where people can invest in a business without having it centralized into international.
You know who invented the stock market?
Tell me.
German Jews.
Oh,
1400.
Come on. You're not going to come on my show and say the Jews did a bad thing?
The Jews invented capitalism because when there were money lenders and stuff, that was the only real job the Christians would let them to have. So they said, well, we have to have a way where we can make money off of just selling hopes of the future and stuff. So they invented stocks.
I thought it was those guys down in Venice with all those banks.
Well, also, too, you know, well, I've heard different stories that it's the Jews in Italy or the Jews in Germany, but it was basically the 1400s and probably a little bit of both. You know, like they sick of this, half another, but it's a Jewish invention.
Yeah, I know. I've got a lot of books
mm-hmm.
on that, and I don't have a list in front of me, but I could read them off one of these days. There's one called The Legalized Crime of Banking.
Yeah.
And there's a whole Money Mechanics by Peter Cook is great. I don't have a copy. I'm going
mm-hmm.
to try. I think he's still alive. See, they're under an honest money system, there is no inflation
yeah.
or depression. An honest money system, a loaf of bread today will cost you the same as it does 10 years from
yeah.
now. If you have inflation, you got a dishonest money system.
Yeah.
If you got, did I say inflation? Or either way,
mm-hmm.
you got a dishonest money system.
Yeah.
And you see, the bank can loan out your money. at least 7 times what's deposited. Mm-hmm. So they can take every little old lady's Social Security check, loan it out 7 mm-hmm. times, get the interest, and then of course the credit card is the greatest boon to the crooks that ever came along.
Yeah.
Because that's really wild where they're getting 18-20% interest and stuff. No, it's there's the key to a good government and a good country is the money system. Mm-hmm. And believe me, ours is rotten.
Well, the whole thing with the free enterprise system is the idea of you give any scumbag who can cross the border the right to make money off the Aryan homeland.
Yeah.
Any Mexican has the freedom to open a gas. He can sell heroin until he gets enough money to buy a gas station, then he becomes a respectable citizen. He makes money off the gas system. Gas selling gas at inflated prices, then he moves up to the upper class and he becomes a ruling member of the Aryan society.
Well, even all the little guys, they're sending billions back to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
It's the second biggest income in Mexico is money from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't think that affects your economy?
Mm-hmm.
It sure as hell helps the Mexicans. Mm-hmm. Of course, in the long run, it won't because they'll just, if they do any better, they'll just breed more.
Well, you know,
there's no answer to the Mexican problem in Mexico over here without birth control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to stop them from breeding one way or another because there's no other thing that will stop them.
Gas chambers.
But you couldn't gas them that fast.
That's right.
They're popping out kids faster than you could gas them. Yeah.
You know, the big myth of America is that in the 1800s you had a free enterprise system. And in the frontiers in the 1800s, there was no government. You know, maybe there was a fort here and there, and you'd elect a sheriff, but basically the government was something on the East Coast and out in the frontier, like in California, you know, 40s and stuff like that. It was just the Wild West. And it wasn't the free enterprise system. It was just nature.
And they didn't even have the FBI. Everybody wore a gun.
And the thing that was might is right, because if you had enough guns and you could kick somebody's ass, if you could defend it against the Indians, that was your farm.
Yeah.
If you couldn't defend it against the Indians, you wouldn't stand up for the white race, you didn't own a farm.
Well, that's why I have mixed emotions about these movies where these guys carve out these big pieces of property.
Mm-hmm.
Just an average guy, mm-hmm. maybe even a guy came over here from Ireland. Or
Germany. The open range.
Yeah, and so he fights all the Indians, carves it all out and everything,
mm-hmm.
and then right away here comes all these farmers in
mm-hmm.
from Ohio and want to take over the land.
Yeah.
Here's
one Irish guy that actually stood up for the white race and fought these mongrels and stuff, and here's these other guys who want to come in and put their cattle on his land, and they're supposed to be the good guys, and he's the bad guy because he's the one that blessed the land.
And then they end up race mixing with the Indians.
Yeah.
So, you know, that whole thing is a bunch of crap as far as I'm concerned. Might is right,
right? Goddamn right.
Yes, sir. Well, we were asked about why I didn't become the head of the COTC church. Well,
mm-hmm.
actually, to be honest about it, Ben Klassen asked a lot of people.
Yeah, yes,
but, see, the, yeah, and he asked the doctor, too.
Yeah.
But, you see, the problem here is that without some changes, I could never have done it. And I doubt... Ben was a very authoritarian
mm-hmm.
kind of guy, and I just sort of doubt whether we could have worked together closely.
Well, what he did is he asked Tom, and then Tom said no, then he asked John Metzger, and John said no, and then he asked me, he offered me $40,000 a year, and then after 10 years I get the whole kit and caboodle, except the catch was is that I had to recruit you and John, and you had to be the spokesman, and me, you know, our personalities, you know, because we're very dominant personalities. I probably would have killed a guy after a week.
Yeah.
Could you imagine me and Ben? Because, you know, I've got my ideas and Ben Klassen's got his ideas.
Well, even now, there's changes that would have to be made.
Number one,
the White Man's Bible and Nature's Eternal Religion.
Yeah, they're really good books.
That should just stop there. None of the rest of the books. None of this telling people how to eat and whether to smoke and drink, all that kind of stuff. And also get rid of that crown that they're wearing on their head.
Imperial margin.
That Latin idea was ridiculous. So there's some things need to be streamlined there.
Well, we
both agree it's a good idea, but it needs a little tweaking.
That's true.
But I'll be in Chicago, boys. I'll be there. That's it. Goodbye.
Have a gravy trip.